The Fantasy Edge with Richard Seville and Dennis Sosik.
Hello and welcome to The Fantasy Edge. I am Richard Seville of FantasySixPack.net, and joining me shortly, we're welcoming back Dennis Sosik, a regular co-host on The Fantasy Edge. Getting you ready for week 12 with the waiver pickups, the latest news since the Sunday action, and we record on Monday night, so I've got an important thing to a player. I need Tom Brady to not score more than 21 fantasy points. What do you think, Dennis? Is it manageable?
Good luck with that. I don't know. I think he's going to have a game. He needs to recover from his last couple of bad games that he's had. So
I know it's right on the over under, isn't it?
Right, especially on prime time. You know, he's going to step up. So I'm praying for you, but I don't know. It's going to be rough.
It will be. So I'll be watching that in delayed mode. So that's one good thing about doing this podcast is that I can, you know, skip through the commercials when I do start watching it. Until I catch up. Yeah, some commercials are awful. There is one commercial that I do like, you know. That's a Progressive commercial with the guy who tries to stop young homeowners from being like their parents.
Oh yeah, I love that. That's a good one. I'll get that one. A little humor. That's always good.
Yeah. So I kind of like that. I kind of like that guy. But anyways, let's get on with the news of what's going on. First of all, Justin Fields, bruised ribs, seems to have avoided anything serious. Looks like Andy Dalton looked a lot better in there. And I've been a little bit down on Matt Nagy. But you know something, Dennis? I don't think it's all on Nagy. I just don't think Justin Fields is... I don't think he's quite good. I don't know. The jury is getting closer to making a decision on him, and it's not good for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of indecision with Fields on the field. I think he is afraid of the blitz and he doesn't know how to handle it yet. That's his biggest culprit right now for him not playing well. When they're not getting blitzed, he looks like an actual NFL quarterback. But when he gets blitzed, he gets a little happy feet and doesn't know what to do. He's afraid of runs that they put in his not to run. So, and he's not really designing plays to help Fields at all either. And Dalton looked okay. I mean, he beat a blitz with that long bomb to Goodwin, which made him look like, you know, the savior, but he's a backup, for a reason. So I wouldn't be holding my hopes up for Dalton to do anything crazy.
No, he's kind of, I think he's a little bit better than Flacco in that sort of.
I don't have to say much, but yeah.
I mean, well, in that bracket of former starters that are backups now, you know.
Yeah, a bunch of retreads, yeah.
So I think he's a better retread than Joe Flacco. And like you say, that really isn't saying a whole lot, but it is.
Not much.
No, but considering where the Jets are. Antonio Brown, lots of issues surrounding Brown. He's got the ankle injury going on, so he's still not returning. Plus this vaccine issue, a lot of people think this will fizzle out, which mainly because it's I don't know what it is about Brown. He just cannot stay out of the limelight, the bad limelight, that is. I don't know. He's Antonio T. Brown. The T stands for trouble. What is it? What is it, Dennis?
Yeah, he's had a head case for a long time. I think he's kind of sheltered in Pittsburgh, but he started breaking out either of his shell, being kind of crazy. Him being with Brady kind of helped him settle down. I think he needs to play and get his head straight. Maybe he should live with Brady a little bit more. Those two used to room together, I guess, and used to live at Brady's house, which was kind of scary. But
could you imagine?
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. Kids and Cassell, and he's living there. I don't get that. But I think this will blow over. I think we'll see him playing, and he's still one of the best receivers out there, one of the best ever. So I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back and helps the Bucs, you know, get back to the Super Bowl, probably.
I don't think the ride is quite over. The ride could be over at any given time when it comes to him, though.
Just very volatile. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Pete Carroll. He took a time out in a presser. He actually walked out on a presser. Came back 30 minutes later, resumed the post-game chat with the media. It's never a good idea with the media. The media sort of are the voice of the public, and, you know, they write the papers, and that's what people go by. But Pete Carroll, do you think the sands of time are running out in Seattle, finally?
Yeah, it makes you wonder. I mean, he's been around, it seems like, forever, and you know, that offense is looking pretty shabby. Russell Wilson is not healthy. I think he's still having issues with, you know, his finger, and he's not doing Russell Wilson things. And, you know, Carroll has only one way to play, and he's never changed that. You know, eventually he should, but he never will. He's old school. So I think the time has passed him by. I think he should retire, and retire before it gets worse. So hopefully this will be his last year. And maybe Russell can cook with someone that has offensive mind instead of wanting to run the ball every time, you know, his running backs are horrible. So
yeah.
I think it's time for, you know what I mean? He still wants to push the, even when, you know, Carson was unhealthy, he still wanted to push Carson to run the ball, and it didn't work very well.
I think it could be possible. And I've mentioned this before. I think a straight up swap between Green Bay and Seattle, the swap quarterbacks. I think that's a very, big possibility because, mainly because, well, because, Rodgers wants out of there, and it looks like Russell Wilson's going to be out of Seattle. So I can see it happening. And also, Russell Wilson's a honey badger, so he'll be quite welcome there.
Yeah, he'd be, you know, like, going back to his hometown team, they would love him there.
Yeah, they would. Other news, the USL for, the USFL returns. that was in the news, today that, it is going to happen in March 2022. Man, I'm really, a lot of tongue twisters today. And, anyway, so the USFL.
You're worried about Tom Brady too much, I think. That's what.
Could be. Anyways, this is going to be just a basically a TV league. None of these teams are going to be playing in the towns that they played in. This is giving away my age, but it doesn't matter. I mean, I remember the USFL. It was like, it was actually becoming a thing. It was, I think to this day, it's still the most successful non-NFL league since 1960 when the AFL came into existence. Cause I mean, it lasted 3 seasons, and I remember watching some of the games, you know. I was kind of a fan of the Express, actually.
they had some good players in that league.
They did. They had Herschel Walker.
Yeah, Reggie White. Yeah. Herschel Walker, Steve Young. I mean, they had some studs out there. I mean, they had some good football. I mean, surprisingly, Jim Kelly was there. They had some good players there.
Yeah.
Some good football.
Yeah. And it was kind of cool. Like in the springtime, you had, you know, some football to watch, and I don't know, everything's different these days, but I mean, back in the day, it was quite, I don't know, it has popularity, but I don't know, by the third season, I don't know, it just didn't seem to be going anywhere, and Donald Trump tried to keep it going. Well, that was the Donald Trump when everybody liked Donald Trump. he couldn't keep it going. Actually, I think he was responsible for getting Herschel Walker, because Herschel Walker was the Heisman Trophy winner back in the day.
Yeah.
So
he was a great player.
Yeah, he was, and he eventually went to Dallas, and he was a star there. Not quite Hall of Fame caliber, but definitely up there and a big name back in the day. So anyways, so a bit of a reboot to the 80s coming up. It's basically, this league is made for gamblers and potentially fantasy. Would you want a fan? I guess, I don't know. Fantasy always finds a way. Would any fantasy potential there?
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. Yeah, my friends used to, they did the arena football league. They did a fantasy thing. I couldn't even get into that. I do enough fantasy stuff that I don't even literally need to worry about. And wouldn't know all the players and stuff. I think I'll pass on that one, unfortunately.
I think one of this thing is that if it is successful, you're going to eventually get, the NFL will vulture anybody who's good, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's where all the money is at.
So, yeah. And so they're going to have some sort of free agency in there for the players. The players will be able to migrate. So it's kind of, in a way, it's a grooming ground. I don't know. Other leagues have had so much difficulty. We had, well, I don't know how many, we've had three leagues. The XFL kind of fell apart because of COVID, I guess. It was bad timing for that league. So, you know, so they're going to try this. And so we'll see how that goes. I hope I haven't missed anything in the news. I don't think so. No. So anyways, next segment. Well, we're moving on. Yes, it's moving on up, and not very many weeks left in the season. We're in the turkey week this season, so you know. That's right, it's turkey week. And
nice touch.
And my moving up or gone guy is Elijah Moore, a Jet. Would you believe it? A Jet is moving on up. I really like this guy. This guy's ownable and startable. You know, forget Corey Davis. This is the man on the Jets right now. And if I can just put up his statistics at the moment, or just mention them, is it's always hard to find this Elijah Moore. Where is it? There he is. Okay, he's this is what he's done in his last four games. Okay, week 8, WR, I better have it half PPR because we do things based on half PPR. But anyways, week 8, WR 32, WR 1 in week 9 against Colts, WR 21 against Buffalo. And that's pretty good considering how Buffalo just crushed the Jets, you know. He still scored a touchdown there. And of course, this week, he was, WR 3 against Miami with 141 yards, his first 100-yard game of his career. 11 targets, 8 receptions, and also a gadget, play for one gadget play for 15 yards and, touchdown. So what do you think of this guy?
I think we're seeing, you know, a breakout happening with, Elijah Moore. I mean, 4 touchdowns in 3 games, and that's coming from 3 different quarterbacks too. You know, Flacco looks to throw the ball around, so I think you can see, you know, that the breakout continue to happen the rest of the season.
So a happy story from the Jets, definitely moving on up, and I'll probably do a blurb about him in the rest season rankings this week. So he'll be my riser of the week, I think. Who have you got for your moving on up this week?
I got Tre'Quan Smith, the New Orleans Saints. Be kind of surprised about the selection, but he's emerged as the team's top receiver. And, you know, he's even more now with, you know, Kamara still out, and the new news with Adam Trautman being out for the next 4 weeks. He has a team high 21% target share during Kamara's out, and seemingly likes him throwing the ball. So I think he's going to emerge and be the go-to guy in that offense for at least while Kamara's out, the top wideout for that team.
Yeah, I think there's potential for Deontay Harris, but he had a bit of a down game. I kind of appreciate the fact you're trying to look for Saints, because really the Saints aren't a bad football team. The Saints are a good football team, but there's just no receivers to latch onto. And for me, a guy like Tre'Quan Smith or even Deontay Harris, those are two guys that you can sort of latch onto, but there's, I don't know, Dennis, the return, fantasy returns are, well, they leave a lot to be desired still.
Their defense is, has been, you know, very good, but now, you know, they had a bad game, gave up a lot of points, on Sunday. I think he's going to be, so they're going to try to get him the ball more. He's a playmaker. He's a big deep play threat, so I think they're going to get him the ball more.
But I think you're right. I think he has a slight edge on the pecking order. He's been out most of the season, so Deontay Harris has, sort of been ahead of him, but now that, Tre'Quan Smith. Actually, I have on my rest of season rankings, I have Deontay Harris considerably further ahead. I'll have to adjust that because I will put Tre'Quan Smith up closer to Deontay Harris to fix that up. So that's our moving up guys. Let's we've got to look at the other side, which is never so good. Danger. Yeah, time to panic. Dennis, who's your panic button?
Yeah, McCole Hardman of the Chiefs. you know, Patrick Mahomes is, you know, starting, he's got his rebound. He's starting to, you know, be Patrick Mahomes again. And it seems like when he throws to Kelce and Tyreek Hill, who can blame him for that? But his other options have not stepped up, including Hardman, you know, Josh Gordon. Nobody's on that team is willing to step up. And while Hardman is showing flashes, he's only scored one touchdown this season. And I'm giving up hope that we're ever going to see Hardman be an option for Mahomes in that offense.
Yeah, I might also mention that I think Byron Pringle might even be a little bit better than him, maybe.
Yeah, he's more consistent, at least, that's true.
And,
which is scary enough.
Yeah, it is. And I completely agree that Hardman, well, it's really, he's, if you own Hardman, you're kind of counting on Tyreek Hill to be out of game. But even so, if I think maybe the better own might be Pringle if something happens to Tyreek Hill. I mean, God forbid, of course. I mean, we don't want that, but,
yeah, even when Hill has been out before, Harper's never really stepped up to be, you know, the go-to guy in that offense. And I don't see it's ever going to happen either. I think they got scared when, they thought Hill was going to be, you know, when he was hurt, so they drafted Harmon to be maybe his replacement, and he's never done anything special.
No, and it's kind of a shame because he's really got the speed. He's got all the I don't understand it with him. He's got all the athletic skills and everything, but for some reason I don't know. He just doesn't fit too well. I think maybe on another offense he'd be fine, but for some reason on the Chiefs, no, the chemistry's not working. I think Josh Gordon. You mentioned him. He actually got a little bit more involvement. I actually saw him catch a pass. So
yeah, surprising. Yeah,
I'm
surprised he's still out there. We don't even see him out there. He's like invisible. He hasn't done anything since he's been on the team, which is kind of disappointing. But they took a shot at him to see maybe he can get a dime in the rough. But he has done nothing at all.
Mm-hmm. Let's get on to the waiver rankings of Fantasy Pros. These are the early, hot off the presses rankings of from the Fantasy Pros website. We look at every position and see what we think how the experts have graded them. And there's not a few surprises, but this is a very low, I would say, Dennis, this is kind of a low week for waivers, really. There's nobody to really jump on this week. But
yeah, I agree.
But if you need guys, you can need guys because, there's still two teams out. I think it's Arizona and who's the other team that's on the ball? Give me a second here.
Chiefs. Kansas City.
All right. Yeah. So here we are. Yeah, we were just talking about them. And you're going to need guys. And you can. So I'm surprised that let's start with the big list. And I'm still surprised Van Jefferson is still. I guess he's still unownable. Fantasy Pros has him at WR1. It's still kind of surprised that people still haven't snapped him up. He's an upside guy. I mean, I really, you know what? I really don't expect Odell Beckham Jr. to be anything special on the Rams. I don't know how you see it, but I think Van Jefferson, I'd rather own Van Jefferson than OBJ. Does that sound silly?
I agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. But I think with Jefferson's diners, because he had a bye week last week, so people had to drop him to pick up another player. So that's probably why his owner percentage went down. But I like Jefferson. He's one of my sleepers coming into the season. He's produced, and I think he's going to do very well in an office now with Robert Woods out. I think he's going to be more of an option for Stafford. The offense, I'm not sure Beckham's going to be anything at all. I mean, he's more of a, I don't think Stafford's going to be listening to him like Mayfield did. So I don't know. He's going to be whining enough, but I don't think he's going to get the ball enough to be significant.
He's going to be DeSean Jackson. That's what he's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's a good comparison. Yeah.
Anybody else on that list that's interesting to you?
No, I think MVS. I mean, he's not a boomer bust, but I mean, he has the potential to be, you know, if you guess the right week when he goes off, then like last week, I mean, he can win you a week, you know. So that offense with Rodgers, you know, starting to throw the ball and the running game. Surprisingly, AJ Dillon didn't do that well last week. I think, you know, he should be out there. I think this week they play the Rams. We'll probably see Jalen Ramsey against Adams. So I think MVS will have free reign out from you. In that secondary, so I can see him having a good week this week.
Yeah, I like Scantling as a pickup. You know what I mean, if you're tired of Mecole Hardman, as we just said, I mean, why not? Why not? I think, you know, you can't I mean, it's not a one-for-one swap. I think there's more upside, as you say, with Valdes-Scantling. There's, I mean, considering, you know, like, you know how these things always work out? You know what'll happen is that, you know, something will happen at practice when the Chiefs come back, and then, you know, people will be rushing for Mecole Hardman. I don't know. But I don't think you have to worry about dropping Mecole Hardman for Marcus Valdes-Scantling. I like the pick. They play the Rams, who we were just talking about, as a matter of fact. So, should be, I'm really looking for that game, huh?
I'm sorry, that's an interruption. So who do you like on this list? Anybody you willing to pick up?
You mentioned Tre'Quan Smith. He's WR7. It might be, but I still to this day. I'm saying Laviska Shenault.
I knew you were going to say that.
I like Laviska Shenault. I know he's not doing anything, and I know that he's, in fact, just to tell you. How bad? Why do I like this guy? I don't know why. He impresses me as a player. I won't give him up. He's getting the good targets. He's like, he had 8 targets against Indianapolis. The WR finishes are not that great. Since the bye week, he's 76, 61, 60, and 49. But I will not give up on this player. I really like good players. I know my eyes don't deceive me. This guy is a good football player. I'm telling you, he really is. Pick him up next year. Make him a draft target. And if he wasn't that good, I mean, Joe wouldn't trade. He wouldn't trade me him for Corey Davis. So it shows you how much Joe likes him. Joe Bond.
Yeah.
Our fearless leader of the pack. Yeah. This fantasy six pack leader of the pack. Get it? See what I did there?
I got that.
And so, anyways, yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, Laviska Shenault. He's on the list. He's on the list for a reason. You know why he's on the list? Because he's good.
Sure. He's on the list every week. He doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah, yeah. If he wasn't any good, he wouldn't be on this list. So.
Well, I think he might get an opportunity now with James Agnew out for the season. So maybe he gets more of an opportunity. You know, they're losing players left and right on their team. So maybe he gets more of an option now in the passing game. Who knows? But Trevor Lawrence ain't looking that great either. So I'm not sure how much he's going to do out there.
Is Agnew up for the season?
Yeah. He hurt his knees up for the year.
What the hell is he doing on the list then?
I'm not sure. They announced it earlier. I saw it come across earlier today.
That is weird. He's on the list. Let me take a look at the news. Yeah, Agnew suffered the injury in Sunday's Week 11 game against the 49ers. Laviska Shenault should see an increase in touches.
As it says,
yeah, this I'm just reading from this Brendan Tuna guy. Oh, Tuma, not Tuna.
Yes.
All right, so it's one of our fellow experts. Now I want to remind you, everybody, that we are experts here. So such as we are, we do the sure. Rankings. We do our best.
We try.
Yeah. And so anyways, yeah, Jamal Agnew, he's out. We'll miss the remainder. And yet he's on this. You see, these experts, you know, here he is, WR16. He shouldn't even be on the list. I'm going to take him. I'm going to make an executive decision and take him off this list just to our listeners, I post every week these on so that you can see what we're talking about. So anyways, I'm going to take Jamal Adams. He's at WR16. I'll put DeAndre Carter, who's at the bottom, who's an interesting pickup, believe it or not.
Yeah, I mean, he scored, three straight games, so he's taking advantage with Curtis Samuel there in the offense. And who knows what's going on with Curtis Samuel? He's been a big disappointment on that team. So, but Carter's producing. So if you're looking for a deep option, he's not a bad pickup.
So for the rest of the wide receivers, let's just do a quick yes or no for these. Jamison Crowder, no for me.
No.
Kendrick Bourne, I'm on the fence. Leaning yes.
Yeah. Nah, I wouldn't touch him either.
All right. Cedric Wilson, he's an interesting spot start. I think I'd rather stash him, but he's... it depends on Amari Cooper, because there's a bit of a hole left, and that he's kind of a next man up guy with Gallup going in. So he's kind of a leaning yes, barely.
Yeah, I think you said it well when you said a spot start. I mean, Bill Cooper and CeeDee Lamb's not going to play, so I see him, you know, playing Thursday. But he had some horrible drops. I don't know if you saw the game, and he had some horrible drops against Kansas City, and they were burning his hands, and he's. They were hitting the field quicker than they hit the field. It was pretty embarrassing, but he got the targets. So, maybe he can be an option for the team, on Thursday.
Robbie Anderson, he's a no. What's he doing on this list?
I don't know. And people like him, like to do LaVisca Chenault. I think you can't, they won't give him up, you know.
WR7, Trick on Smith, you talked about him. LaVisca Chenault, no, we talked about him. Nick Westbrook-Akeen is a no.
No.
Nelson Aguilar, same as, Kendrick Bourne. He's a touchdown or bust kind of wide receiver, like Bourne is. Okay. Rondale Moore, yes. Yeah, he's ownable. We still don't know the status of, DeAndre Hopkins for the rest of the season. And, I think Rondale Moore is worthwhile having on your bench, if you need to fire him up, he's there. He's a yes.
Yeah. I mean, you figured Kyler Murray would be coming back, maybe in this week. Maybe we'll see him, but, yeah, I think he's a good pickup.
Russell Gage, yeah.
Yeah. I stay away from everybody in Atlanta. They look so bad, it's embarrassing.
Okay. Will Fuller is on IR. I think he's going to be coming off IR. Leaning no.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Marquez Callaway, he's the guy that we didn't talk about when we were discussing Tre'Quan Smith, but leaning no.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't think he's worth owning at all.
Marquise Goodwin of the Bears. Al Robinson not playing. That's you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle with a guy like Marquise Goodwin. Even in the deepest of leagues, he's still a no.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That was just it was a nice play by Dalton, you know, reading the blitz and calling that play. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't score again the rest of the year. So I wouldn't touch him.
Yeah, rounding out the list is Jamal Agnew and DeAndre Carter. I have no idea why Fantasy Pros, and we're talking experts here. Experts, folks. Experts have put Jamal Agnew on this list, and he's out for the year. So, I don't know. Huh? Yeah. Which position should we go for next, Dennis? What do you think?
You can do running backs, but I don't see anybody there that's appealing to me. I mean, we can attack it if you want, but.
Let's see. Yeah, there's nobody here. Like, Kadri Allison sort of stepped up. The question about him. No, I'm not touching that offense. No, but I mean, Cordell Patterson's going to come back at some point. There's no point in just hoping for some upside there. I mean, I get it. Like, Mike Davis is awful.
He's horrible. Yeah, he's like, right. He's like, running backwards. I mean, he just doesn't get any push at all anymore.
No, there's nothing happening with him. He's no magic. It's just not there. No other real names. Dontre Hilliard, I think he was kind of a beneficiary of game script there. And also with, Jeremy McNichols being out for the Titans. And I know everyone was high on Donta Foreman, but you do well. Don't drop Donta Foreman just yet. Wait another week, I think. You might regret it if you drop Donta Foreman. Keep him one more week. But I don't think we should rush out. And I don't know how you feel about it. What do you think, Dr. Hilliard, worth a spec?
Yeah, I think he produced. I mean, Jeremy Nichols, like you said, was ruled out and he'll just stepped in and got 8 catches on 10 targets. And shockingly enough, I mean, I'm surprised he's still in the league, but, he produced. And if you, and whoever had him, but I think he'll be a pickup in deep PPR leagues. I think he's not bad, but yeah, just to have him just to see if he can match that output again. Never happened, maybe, but you never know.
Texans beat the Titans. What kind of world is this?
I know. Never got that either.
The Titans beat the Rams. I mean, they can't beat the Texans, but they can beat the Rams. Come on.
Right. Makes no sense.
They beat the Bills. Come on.
Yeah, they lost to the Jets and the Titans, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's embarrassing.
I don't know. How does it happen?
They crush everybody else.
That's why they play the games.
That's right.
Okay, let's just take a look at let's just quickly do some yes and no's on these running backs. So Ty Johnson, I'm not rushing to get him. He's RB1.
I mean, he's not bad. Maybe PPR leagues, because I mean, Michael Carter is out for 2 to 3 weeks, so someone has to get the ball there. I mean, you want to get the ball to Tevin Coleman? I wouldn't want to. So I think Ty Johnson would get the ball at least, but that offense, who knows what's going to happen. So,
well, I'm just saying, I'm not rushing to get him.
Oh, not rushing, but you need to fill a roster spot. Yeah, better than LaVisca Chenault.
Well, somebody might throw some fab on him, but I'm very, very light fab. In fact, I'm talking like not even 10%, not even 5% of my fab I put on Ty Johnson. Anyways, yeah. But he is ranked RB1 and probably. probably the proper one, as you say, Michael Carter being out. So, yeah, stands to reason. Latavius Murray, did he come back this week? I don't even...
Yeah, he came back. But Freeman's the one that got the bomb war.
Yeah, it's Freeman's the guy now. Latavius Murray's kind of, you know, he slid back in the background now. It is, yeah. Devonta Freeman's playing great.
Yeah, he's good. Get when he touched on him. He's still looking good, surprisingly enough, and he's still producing, so.
Yeah.
Murray's he's got, in the second fiddle now.
It actually surprised me whenever he gets the ball. I think, Devonta Freeman, he's back. Yeah, he's, you know. We got Kadri Allison, we kind of agreed he's a no. And Tevin Coleman, we agree he's a no. David Johnson is a leaning no for me. Doing nothing.
Yeah, definitely no.
Rex Burkhead, no. Dontrell Hilliard, yeah, stash him. Finally, rounding out the list, Dennis is Matt Brady. He's a no for me. He's on the Bills.
Yeah, that Bills running game is not existent as well. I mean, Singletary and Moss, they're not looking good. Actually, Breida's not playing them, which says a lot about those two running backs. But Breida's still somebody I wouldn't want either.
Right, okay, we'll leave the quarterbacks for last. Well, I'll say, let's do the tight ends now, and I'll just do, well, there's so few of them, we'll just do yes, no for these, and then comment if the comments need be. There's another guy I think he's injured too. Anyways, Tyler Conklin, number one. Yeah, he should be owned, this guy. He's getting red zone targets. I mean, you could, Cousins likes him in the red zone. He's not getting a whole lot between the 20s. That's all going to, that's all going to Jefferson and Thielen. So Tyler Conklin's not getting any of the, but he is getting, when it gets inside the 20s, he does tend to get some of that, some of those targets, which are the important ones for fantasy. So.
Right. And not a bad fill-in if you lost, if you have Kelsey or Ertz on a bye, is a good fill-in for you this week.
Yeah, that's a good point. Excellent fill. Yeah. If you want to see the Chiefs and the, what's the other team again? Arizona. Right. Yeah. Ertz. And Adam Troutman, I think he's injured. Is he not?
Yeah, he's out 4 to 6 weeks.
Why the hell has Fantasy Pro, these guys, don't they read the news?
Yeah. They didn't want to produce the news and they didn't put it on, but. He's out 4 to 6 weeks with MCL injury.
How many experts have come out already? Because not many of the experts actually do the rankings. So I think it's...
No, they probably do them really in the morning.
I think it's just a half dozen of them.
Yeah, there isn't that many.
Yeah, there isn't that many that do this. But still, they're counted as experts. And anyways, Adam Troutman. Yeah, don't... I have to make the executive decision to remove him from the Fantasy Pros experts list. Nice going, guys. Yeah, right.
He was producing too. That's a shame. He's just starting to come on.
That's true.
Yeah. He scored. He had six targets the last four games. In each of his last four games, I should say. So, I mean, he was starting to come on, and it's a shame that he got hurt. But maybe Juwan Johnson and I will come back and produce like he did early. We'll see.
Yeah, if they got Logan Thomas, obvious grab.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, yes for me on him, because he's returning from injury. Evan Engram,
Yeah, I can't. He's burned me so many times. I can't roster him anymore. I just can't do it.
Austin Hooper. He's okay. Oh yeah. So he's a yeah for me. So I guess I gotta use these in order to describe about how I feel about the guy. I gotta express my yeahs and yeah. So
I mean, Hooper's he's getting the ball more now since OBJ's gone, but in that offense, I mean, you got Hooper and Njoku and Harrison Bryant, the tight end. They just, you know, split the targets and the production, and you know, and Charles Landry, I think, is he's on the shelf maybe too this week, so we'll see.
Okay. And finally, let's go through the quarterbacks in a similar way. Yes and no. Yes for Mac Jones. Mac Jones is actually, I was going to have him on my moving on up. My moving on up guy. He was in consideration. Mac Jones, definitely a quarterback that you can start trusting, Dennis.
Yeah, he's become a godsend for that Patriots team after not having Cam out bad there last year. He didn't do very well. But he's, you know, completing 70% of his passes. He's, you know, they won five consecutive games, and their defense is playing out of their minds. I mean, they're going to be tough to beat. Jones, the way they're point calling, McDaniels is doing the point calling, but it's going to be tough to beat in the playoffs.
And the thing that Belichick is doing, he's doing everything baby steps with Mac Jones. And it keeps, for me, of the class of rookies this year, Mac Jones is impressing me as the one with the most potential for good growth.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, I agree with that. He's come out of the chute looking great, and then a lot of things are promising with him. He has the poise, he has the arm, he has the guts. I mean, he's proved to be the perfect pick for the Patriots.
We have Daniel Jones, 2QB league. I have a hard time. Some people even in the F6P league do stream Daniel Jones. And he is a streamable commodity. He's not a guy. You see, this is the problem with quarterbacks. You don't pick up quarterbacks to own like you do the other skill positions, but Daniel Jones is kind of a yes streamer for me.
Yeah. I mean, he's quarterback two. Hit or miss kind of guy. I mean, he has a little bit of a cheat code aspect with his running ability, but beyond that, he's kind of handcuffed in that offense too. I mean, they had a lot of injuries on that team, so he's not had the full arsenal. You know, he doesn't have Berkeley, Galladay, Shepard there all at the same time. So maybe when they do play, like, yeah, some of the guys bet tonight, but we'll see what he can do with all the guys there.
Trevor Lawrence, big disappointment. You know, I'm not seeing a lot from Trevor Lawrence. You know what? You know who he reminds me of a lot? And I'm saying this not on the skill level, but on the aesthetic sort of level or the trending level sort of is, he kind of reminds me of Marcus Mariota.
Oh boy.
I really don't think he's going to be. I think he's going to turn into a Marcus Mariota in this league. I hate to say it. Sorry, Jaguars fans. It's just, I don't see it happening. I'm seeing another Marcus Mariota case here. I don't know how you think about it. Do you think I'm being a bit harsh there?
Maybe. I mean, you know, we've seen a lot of quarterbacks that had bad rookie year. You know, Peyton Manning was led the league in interceptions when he played his rookie year. I mean, not comparing the two, but I mean, I think we'd give him time. I don't think Urban Meyer is the guy that's coaching him. I think Meyer's shouldn't be coaching the NFL, but I think Lawrence has, I mean, he has the moxie and the ability to do it. I think he's going through a lot of growing pains and doesn't have that much talent surrounding him as well. So I think it's a little too early to judge him to that low level Mariota.
But I don't know. I see this all the time with Jaguars quarterbacks that they draft, like Blake Bortles and Blaine Gabbert. You know, what is it about the Jaguars? Can't they groom a quarterback anywhere, like any way, anyhow?
They have a good coaching. Still don't. But I think he'll be fine. Then he gets some talent, some offensive linemen around him.
There was Blake Bortles. Like, I have to say this though, Blake Bortles won me a fantasy championship one year.
Oh boy, how that happened?
Well, I didn't have. I needed a fill in for some reason, and he won me a playoff game. I had to spot start him for one of the playoff games, and if it weren't for that, I think it was just a semifinal or quarterfinal or something. But I needed Blake Bortles, and he came through.
Oh wow, that's scary.
Well,
that's kind of Bortles.
Yeah, it's scary, but like, I think at the time Blake Bortles was kind of on a bit of a streak, so he was doing one of those little rare streaks. But the Jaguars quarterbacks, like, it just seems like, I don't know what it is, to have this thing where they can't be good. But anyway, rounding out the quarterbacks is, of course, Andy Dalton. And he probably will start, depending on, I think, not sure if Justin Fields is day-to-day. But you know something? I think Andy Dalton's better for your fantasy Bears, downfield Bears, anyway.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think he'll... He's more obviously with experience, and he knows how to beat the blitz. I think Fields is still struggling with that. So. And we're going to definitely see Dalton on Thursday. We'll see beyond. I think Fields will come back after that. So.
All right. Okay. So, well, if we're going to be picking up anybody, we got to drop somebody. Dennis, drop some guy so you can pick up one of these. So you can pick up Van Jefferson.
Yeah, I'm dropping Kenneth Gainwell, running back of the Eagles. He is... He's somebody who was even active last week, and looks like the Eagles won't be part of him anymore. Now they got Miles Sanders returning. Even with Jordan Howard out, I think we're not going to see Kenneth Gainwell produce anymore for the Eagles.
I was just going to say that that's quite a statement with Justin, pardon me, with Jordan Howard out to drop Kenneth Gainwell. But I think you're right. I don't think it matters because I think Boston Scott and Miles Sanders are the thing. Right. Kenneth Gainwell is. I think when you say drop, we're talking redraft. I think you keep him still in dynasty. Still a dynasty thing, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I think you have to give the opportunity, but redrafts, I mean, you can let him go.
Yeah. I'm dropping Durnest. I got to drop Durnest. I like Durnest, but there's not going to be much left for Durnest once, you know, we're kind of waiting for, I think, who he returns this week. What's his name? I always forget. Hunt. Yeah, Hunt. Yeah. Hunt returns. Hunt's going to return next week. So this even downgrades Durnest even a little bit more. But Chubb is still playing great. Yeah, Chubb is just awesome. Chubb.
Yeah, he's a throwback workhorse back, but he's phenomenal. I mean, Hunt's supposed to start practicing this week, and after missing multiple weeks of that calf strain, but I don't know if I would give up on Johnson that quick though, without knowing that Hunt's gonna be fully back or not. So I don't know if I would take that chance yet. But if you need a roster spot, I guess you can. But I would make sure Hunt's back before you do that.
Mm-hmm.
That was me. You know, I mean, you never know. I mean, Chubb can't rush the ball every play. I mean, I wish he could because he's phenomenal and LeBron's blue when he runs the ball. But I think, I don't know how much, hopefully Hunt can come back to full strength. But if not, Johnson produces when he's out there. Even with Chubb, he can at least give you something out there. I'd rather have that on my bench than somebody like
I think if you Matt own
Peter or something.
he's more, I can agree with that. He's maybe he's not as droppable, I think, in your mind. But if you're a Chubb owner, I think you kind of want to keep him around a lot more than true. People who don't have Chubb.
Yeah, even a Hunt order, too, you could do that as well.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, still, I mean, you need the roster spot, I guess. But I'd be worried if Hunt doesn't succeed in his comeback and he gets hurt again, then I think Johnson could still be he could be someone you could play as a flex, maybe in a real deep league, possibly.
I'm going to go with Trey Sermon. Jeff Wilson is obviously, we can see that there is a pecking order on the San Francisco 49ers. And it looks like Jeff Wilson, when Elijah Mitchell is not playing, it goes to Jeff Wilson. So, but Trey Sermon, I think he's ahead of Hasty. So, and I think Hasty's out for the season. I'm not sure about that, but, Trey Sermon, a good spec ad. I think, if you, have a open roster spot and you're looking for some upside, I think, Trey Sermon is a guy for, spec ad. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I liked him coming out of, Iowa State. I thought he was going to be, someone to reckon with in that 49ers offense, but it seems like Shanahan is, doesn't like him as much as everybody else does. And he is, he's been relegated to the bench. I mean, Wilson, he came back last week. He didn't look that great. And, Mitchell, I think he'll be back, the following week with his, forgetting the surgery on his finger. I think he'll be someone you want to get the ball to. And I don't see, I mean, Sermon's a good stash, of course, but he hasn't really produced anything yet. It's kind of making me nervous, but hopefully a dynasty is definitely someone to hold on to. But redraft, I'm not sure if he's worth it or not right now.
Well, this is the lowest of when we talk spec ads. These are the guys that are just kind of like stash and hope. Who you got?
Speaking of stash and hope, my selection, Dontrell Hilliard. He came out of nowhere to play, 63% of the snaps on Sunday. He got 10 targets, caught 8, scored a TD. They're playing the Patriots this week, which will probably put the Titans in negative game scripts, which bodes well for Hilliard and catching the ball more. So not a bad deep selection if you're hurting at your flex position in the PPR league.
Exactly. And so, folks, we have come to the end. I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, that's right. Enjoy your turkey, too.
Enjoy your turkey day.
Yeah. I even though I don't celebrate Thanksgiving, being the nationality that I am, but I did buy a turkey. Just so.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's because everyone's eating turkey on Thanksgiving. So I thought, I'm going to get myself a small turkey for me and Ted, so we can have something to eat. You know, my little boy Teddy, he doesn't, he's not a big fan of turkey, but he'll have to have some. So, yeah, my little boy, yeah, he's not a big fan of turkey. Can you believe that kid that doesn't like turkey? Stupid kid.
Yeah, I know.
But anyways, we're going to have turkey anyway, because, it's just that when you're watching football, all they talk about is turkey, turkey this, turkey that. And speaking of which, Dennis, what do you think of this? A lot of people are kind of complaining about the Bears and the Lions being such a lousy game.
Agreed. And every year. Yeah, it gets really annoying.
Yeah.
It's really bad football. Even Dallas. I mean, you see Dallas every year, too. Dallas is so-called American team, but you get sick of seeing them. They should, rotate that so every team gets the chance to play that,
Yeah. I think, I don't forget who it was. It might have been Skip Bayless or somebody that was complaining about the Lions. I forget who it was, but I don't want to say it was Skip Bayless, but it was somebody like Skip Bayless was saying it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of agree. Yeah, you got to take away the Lions can't have it every year, especially, it should be. Because, the early window game, that's kind of a, only fantasy people and gamblers are going to be watching that game.
Right. That's the only people that care at that time, right?
Right. Fans, and fans of the teams.
No, of course, yeah. But so, how many fans are there now? Bears and Lions, they're not that good, so especially the Lions. I was fearing that they actually would beat the Browns on Sunday. The Browns made it too close to comfort on that.
Yeah. So the other games, the other games are pretty good. I think that the Cowboys and the Raiders, right? And then and then the night game, the Saints and
Buffalo.
Well, that's a good one.
That'd be a good game. Hopefully, Josh Allen can step up, and offense is not looking good the last couple of weeks.
So, a happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Happy Thanksgiving, Dennis. Have a good one.
Happy Turkey Day, Richard. Enjoy your turkey with your son, and good luck in your fantasy matchups this week.
All right. Thank you for joining us on the Fantasy Edge. Oh, and by the way, be sure to check out Dennis does the Stock Up, Stock Down, and that comes out on Wednesday. Am I right?
Correct.
And I do the rest of the season that comes out on Thursday. And then Friday night, the article that I really put a lot of sweat into is the F6P blur view, which comes out a Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure to check out that, where I go through every single game that played on Sunday. Announcers, weather, hold it. I throw it all in there. So you get all the info that you need. Thank you for joining us on the Fantasy Edge. See you next week for week 13, everybody. But for now, enjoy your week 12 and your Thanksgiving.